I wonder if there's anyone here tonight that says, if God wants to change my life, I'm going to let Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Good.
There are people here that are just here because of the excitement, and some are here for duty, some are here for the corn dogs, which, by the way, good stuff. But in every crowd, there's people that just want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And I wonder if you with me tonight would open your heart, would open your spirit, and just say, Holy Spirit, if you want to talk to me, I'm wide open.
Yes.
And let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to stay in Matthew chapter 9. And I'm going to give you some verses, some other places. But the bulk of where I'm going to have you look is in Matthew chapter 9. Fantastic chapter.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 9, if you're able, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to read several verses. That when we read the Bible, that's not the time to tune out. That's the time to tune in.
Yeah.
And Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 29. I'd like you to follow along, and I want you to put yourself in the story. I want you to see these things with your mind, to be a witness in the room, on the road, seeing what's happening here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, the Word of God, while He spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped Him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed Him. And behold, a woman which was diseased 12 years came behind Him and touched the hem of His garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch His garment, I am whole. Jesus turned to Him and said, Give good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour, from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, He saw the minstrels and the people. And He said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they in and took her by hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. 7. And when Jesus started thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto Him, Yea, Lord. And He touched their eyes, verse 29. Then touched He their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And that's the text for the night. According to your faith, be it unto you. Verse 30. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad His fame in all that country. Think of this state according to your faith done to you. Let's pray. Our Father, now in this very moment, under this tent, in the middle of this week, Father, You've done amazing things. And we thank You for that. Thank You for bringing these people together. But, oh God, I pray that tonight You'd put a hedge about us, that You'd protect us from satanic intrusion, distraction, and that You would do a work here tonight, that You would start a ripple here tonight that will continue through the years until we see You in heaven. Help us to grasp this life-altering truth and know how to put it into practice in our own lives. Holy Spirit of God, move among us. Thy work, glorify the Son and make us like Him. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Our text includes several powerful stories about faith. And through this message, I would like to weave these accounts together to demonstrate one powerful truth. According to your faith, be it unto you. I think we'd all agree that faith is fundamental to the Christian life. We believe in our Creator, though we did not see Him create. We believe in Jesus for salvation, though we did not see Him die on the cross. We believe He rose from the dead, though we were not there to see Him on that first Sunday. Surely the just shall live by faith.
Right.
The Bible clearly says, "For we shall walk by faith and not by sight." And dear friend, if we're ever going to learn to walk by faith and unleash the power of God, then we've got to learn to stop trusting what we see or what we don't see and begin living by faith.
Amen.
Faith is the currency of God's kingdom. We are born again through faith. We are expected to live through faith. I believe every Christian here believes the fundamentals of the faith. But isn't it interesting how we struggle to trust God in our everyday lives?
Right. Yeah, right.
How is it that we can trust God to take us to heaven, but we can't trust Him to pay our bills?
Right, right. It's good. It's good.
Allow me to ask you a personal question. I want you to answer to yourself, how much confidence do you have in God this very moment? See, faith is a measure of your personal confidence in God. If we were to make a scale of 0 being I don't trust God at all and 10 being I couldn't trust God anymore, right now, this very moment, where would you fit on that scale? What is the measure of your personal confidence in God right now? To what degree are you relying on Him? Do you trust Him in your finances? Do you trust Him to guide your life? Do you trust Him in who to date, who you're going to marry, how to raise your children, to protect you, to provide for you? As our world gets more and more uncertain, we must rely on God more and more.
That's right.
But how can we know how much we trust God? The measure is our actions. You only truly trust God in what moves you to action. Our confidence in God is revealed through our words and through our actions. As we grow in grace, our confidence in God grows more and more. One might say, I would trust God more if I saw Him working in my life. And I would say to that person, you would see God working in your life more as you trust Him more. See, the Bible says clearly, according to your faith, be it unto you. There are two important questions when it comes to personal faith in God. The first is, do you believe God can? And I think most everybody in the room would say, man, God can do whatever He wants. He's the Almighty. He can do anything He desires to do. Faith says God is able. And our faith in God grows the more we understand His Word. We should be convinced of the limitless ability of our God. The only thing God cannot do are the things He's decided not to do. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, we see Jesus controlled the weather. In Matthew 9:22, Jesus healed the sick. In Matthew 9:25, the Son of God raised the dead. In Matthew 9:28, the Savior made the blind to see. In Matthew 9:33, Christ cast out a devil. The Bible is the unfolding revelation of God's almighty power, and our faith is increased as we read the Bible and believe it and say, God can.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And I believe most everybody in here would say, God can. But here's the next question. Do you believe God will do it for you? See, we know God can, but we struggle believing that He'll do it for us. Before I was saved, I believed God could take me to heaven if He wanted to. But I didn't believe He wanted to because I was a sinner. I wasn't good enough. But the Bible taught me, no, God not only can save my soul, He wants to save my soul.
Right.
And see, the Bible's full of teaching us not only that God can do amazing things, but that God wants to do amazing things for you. Not your neighbor. Not your husband, your wife, your parents. Your aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, not the preacher, not the deacons, you. God wants to work mightily in your life. And I'm telling you right now, dear friend, if you could get a vision tonight for what God wants to do with you.
Yep.
For what He wants to do in your life. And you would begin to believe that He not only wants to, He's ready to.
Yeah.
He's waiting to. The resources are all put together. The opportunities are falling in line. The question is, when the door appears, will you have the faith to walk through?
Yes, sir.
According to your faith, be it unto you. Believing that God can is not the same as believing that He will do it for you. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, the scripture says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." See, God not only can, God will. I love the story in Luke chapter 5, a leper came to Jesus. And you've got to understand, in that day, leprosy was a death sentence.
Yep, right.
There was no cure for leprosy, and literally it was the body parts would begin to die. It was an outward picture of sin, and once sin got infected, it would spread to all the other parts. And it wasn't uncommon for people that had leprosy for fingers to fall off, and their nose would literally fall off their face. Their lips would fall off, literally just rot off their face. Ears would fall off, and hair would fall out, and you'd these mangled people that had this leprosy. And I imagine this man was full of leprosy, and I picture his mangled hand reaching toward Jesus and his twisted face pleading for healing.
Yep.
And this man had the wisdom to strike the balance we need. Luke chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy." This was a twisted, ugly man. Children would see him and screech and run to the safety of their parents. But this man who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean."
Right.
See, the leper came to Jesus and he said, "I know you can. If you want to. If you'll do it for me, I know you can." Jesus looked at him and said two beautiful words. "I will."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And see, friend, we need to go to God every day and say, "God, I need a miracle in my life. I need you to do things that are shocking and striking and amazing and miraculous. And God, I know that if you want to,
yep,
you can." You might just be surprised at how many times Christ will look you right in your eye with a look of love and power and say, "I will."
Hey.
He might even say, "I've been waiting for you to ask me."
Amen.
Here's the truth that we'll learn in the scripture today. When the Bible says, according to your faith be it unto you, this means that God matches His power to our faith. God's activity in your life is dependent upon your personal faith. If you believe God can, you're right. If you believe God won't, you're right. God's work in your life is in direct proportion to your faith. There's a beautiful verse in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and I'll just read it to you. The Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." This is a wonderful verse that teaches it's impossible to outgive God. God tells us whatever we give, He'll give back more in this beautiful illustration. But I want you to notice a few things here. God allows you to decide what to give. Give! Well, give what? Whatever you decide.
Yeah.
Give money! Oh, it'll come back to you.
Yes, sir.
Give time! It'll come back. Give love! It'll come back. Give judgment! Oh, that's going to come back too. Give condemnation! Yeah, that's coming back too. Give doubt! That's going to come back on you. Give peace, give joy, give encouragement. It's going to come back on you. See, God says, I'm going to let you decide what to give, but whatever you give, I'm going to give you back more. And then He says, I'm not only going to let you decide what to give, I'm going to let you decide the measurement to give. If you give a teaspoon, God will give you back a teaspoon, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you give a gallon, God will give you back a gallon, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you give a tanker truck, God will give you a tanker truck. I don't know how He's going to push it down and shake it together and all that, but you get the idea. But you see how faith intersects with this verse. I not only have the faith, I need the faith to give what God tells me to give. And then I need the faith to choose to give large, to give big, to give sacrificially. And God works in my life in direct proportion to my faith.
Right. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
And we see this throughout the scripture, but I want to take you back to Matthew chapter 9 in the minutes we have that remain. I want to give you three thoughts tonight from Matthew chapter 9 that I think are eye-opening and life-changing if you choose to act upon it. I want to say, number one, God's power is unleashed by faith. God's power is unleashed by faith. Well, how does God decide when to move miraculously? Well, part of that has to do with His sovereignty, of course. But the Bible says here very clearly that God is going to work in my life in proportion to my faith. He's going to work in your life in proportion to your faith. This means that God's power is unleashed by your faith. More faith equals more power. Less faith equals less power.
Right.
Faith is the currency of God's kingdom. Faith moves the hand of God. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28. We see that Jesus asked a powerful question to the two blind men. Look at verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." This wasn't one question. They were yelling and crying and following Him and yelling and crying, and blind men groping through the crowd and bothering everybody and causing a tumult. In another passage of Scripture, it says other people were trying to calm Him down. "Be quiet. The Savior's too busy for you. Stop yelling. son and causing all this trouble, but they just kept it up until they got the attention of Jesus. We call that importunate prayer.
Yes, sir.
Right. But look at verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus invited them. But Jesus had a question for them. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Now, we talked about that, didn't we? We believe God can. The question is, God will. But we see here, believe ye that I'm able to do this. They said unto him, yea, Lord. Look at verse 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Wait a minute. Jesus didn't have them jump through hoops. He didn't have them take any extra steps. He didn't give them a 10-step plan to get them the miracle. He just said, do you believe? Yes. And by the way, their belief was evidenced in their yelling, their crying, their following. And now they're in the house before Jesus. Jesus already knew the answer to the question because their faith was evidenced by their actions.
Right.
And then Jesus touched their eyes and said, according to your faith be it unto you. Christ healed the men because they believed that he could and he would. I think we need to stop worrying about how much faith we have and just start acting on the faith we have.
Amen.
Because our faith, the answer to the question, how much faith do I have, is answered by, are you acting like you have faith?
Right. That's good.
Well, I talk like I have faith. Are you acting as if God's going to do it?
Right.
See, you can sit back and believe all day that God would save you if you asked, but someday you just have to ask. And the truth is, there's no place in the Bible that talks about any certain amount required to be saved. You don't have to wonder if you had enough faith to get saved, because if you had enough faith to ask Him to save you, you had enough faith to get saved.
Sure, right. Amen. Yeah.
And it's this way in every area of life. According to your faith be it unto you. Are we living as though we believe God can? And He will. God increased His working to match the faith of the blind men. God limits His power to agree with a lack of faith. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 13. We see a centurion come to Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, at verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed that self same hour. Let me ask you a question. What if your biggest problem is not the amount of money in your bank account, it's your faith? What if your biggest problem is not you don't know what to do, it's the faith to do what God's already told you to do? What if our biggest problem is not what's going on in Washington or the White House or the Congress or around us? What if our biggest problem is the faith or lack of it in our own lives?
Right.
See, God's power is unleashed by faith.
Yep.
Number two, God's power is directed by faith. God just doesn't unleash His power in kind of a wave that just touches whatever it does as it goes along. It's not a nuclear bomb dropped in the middle of nowhere and, well, I don't know really what's going to happen. No, God has the ability to target His supernatural power to a specific person.
Right.
A specific situation. A specific place. God's power is directed by faith. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Verse 2, and behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. Oh, watch this next phrase. And Jesus, seeing their faith. Whose faith? Not the faith of the sick man. The faith of the friends who brought the sick man to Jesus. and seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Another gospel tells us that this was not an easy task to get this man to Jesus. The house was full. The throng was outside. They actually climbed up on the roof and got this dead weight of this sick man up on the roof. And they would often have patios on the roof and places where they would eat dinner and such in the heat of the day and covered. And they got that sick man up to the roof. And then they somehow got some tools together, probably looking around for whatever they could find. And they began to beat through that roof. And they began to beat through that roof. And they would take their hands and pull out the debris and beat and pull and beat and pull until they poked through the ceiling of the room where Jesus was. And then they had to make the hole big enough to fit a whole man through. And then they let him down gently. And Jesus looked up at that hole and he said, I see your faith. What was their request? Jesus, unleash your power on our friend. And Jesus said, I see you, and I'm going to point my power at him. See, dear friend, God's power is directed by faith. Why was the sick man's healed? His friend's faith pointed God's power at the ill. I'm glad to tell you, God will work in your life because of your faith, but he'll also work in other people's lives because of your faith. You go soul winning and somebody gets saved because you had the faith to obey the Lord. You run a bus route and kids come to church because you had the faith to serve the Lord. You work in junior church or the nursery or the nursing home ministry or the prison ministry or Operation Saturation, and God sees your faith and he points his power to someone else. We have the supernatural power to ask God to unleash his power on our church, on our family, on our community, on our bus route, on our ministry, on our nation.
Right.
We see in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, a lady healed. Why was she healed? Verse 21, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole.
Amen.
There was no special power in the garment of Jesus.
Right.
The truth is, if you read the scripture, many people were thronging him. That means touching him, pushing up against him, and none of them were healed. But what you find is the touch of faith.
Yeah.
How many hundreds or thousands of people had touched Jesus to no avail? Jesus, heal me! Jesus, heal me! Jesus, say words over me! Jesus, put your hands on my forehead and heal me! But one lady said, if I could just touch his clothes, I would be healed. And the God of heaven said, you're exactly right. If you can just touch his clothes, you'll be healed. What's really interesting is you find after that in another passage of scripture, after she was healed by touching his clothes, other people started touching his clothes to be healed. Because now they believed it could be done. See, you would believe it if you saw it. If that happened to your friend, you'd say, oh, I bet God could do that. But God says, I need somebody to go first. I need someone to believe me first. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, the blind men were healed. How many blind people had our Lord walked past during his ministry?
Right.
But how many didn't have the faith to seek the Savior and request to be healed? Faith directed God's power to heal these blind men. I'm telling you tonight, friend, we need to stop doubting and start trusting. We use a steering wheel a little steering wheel to direct a 6,000-pound car or an 80,000-pound cement truck. And we've got to understand that our faith is the steering wheel in our lives. We get to have the ability to humbly and confidently request God to direct His power. And a small rudder guides the largest ship. A small amount of sincere faith can move a mountain.
Right.
See, I don't know if I have enough faith, preacher. It's not how much faith you have. It's what are you doing with the faith you have.
Right, sir. It's good.
There we go. We say number three, God's power is according to your faith. We learn, number one, God's power is unleashed by faith. Number two, God's power is directed by faith. Number three, God's power is according to your faith. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, the Savior said, according to your faith be it unto you. What does the word according mean? The word according means to make agree or to adjust one to another. So watch this. God's power is up here, and my faith is down here. And God says, according to your faith, what does that mean? God says, I'm going to adjust my power to your faith. What if my faith is up here? God says, I'm going to adjust my power to your faith. What if your faith's up here? I'm going to adjust my power to your faith. This is an infinite scale. There's nothing God cannot do. And God says, don't you understand that I am waiting on you? The same God that says, I can save your soul today, but I won't make you get saved. You have to come to me humbly and believe and ask by faith that I will save your soul to the uttermost. The same God tells His children, I'm not going to make you come to me. I'm not going to make you believe in me. I'm not going to make you take a miracle. But if you come to me, there is nothing in my will that you could ask me that I am incapable of delivering.
Right.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah. According to your faith, God adjusts His unlimited power to agree with our faith. As He said to the centurion, as thou hast believed, so be it unto me. The word as means like, even, or similar. And once again, God's telling us that I will adjust my power to your belief. God's activity in your life is equal to your faith. And God uses our faith as the measurement to how much He will work in our lives.
Yeah, that's right.
How many would be here tonight and say, preacher, I need God to work in my life?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need God to work in my life. So how do we make this happen? How do we take the truths that we learn tonight and put them into practice? How do we express our faith in a way that unleashes God's power and directs it, and He gives His power in according to our faith? Let me say again that we measure our faith by words. God measures our faith by our actions. And we only truly believe what moves us to action. In reality, we only truly believe what changes our behavior. Listen, if you thought right now that you were sitting here and your family member was at home and sick and you got a call and said your house is on fire, there's nothing keeping you sitting here. You'd jump up and run out and head home and you'd take care of business. See, what we truly believe moves us to action, but what we don't believe... See, we say we believe there's a hell, but we act like there isn't one.
Got it, preacher.
We say we believe in a heaven, but we act like there isn't one. We say we believe in a judgment seat, but we live like there isn't one. God can save souls, but do we tell people like He can actually save souls?
All right. Yeah.
God's still building churches. Do we serve in churches like God's still building churches?
That's good, bro.
We find in the scriptures, as we just read, some believed that one must be in the presence of Jesus with his full attention to receive help. Those are the men in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. They felt like they had to get to Jesus, rip a hole in the roof, flop down in front of that crowd, and get Jesus to look them right square in the eyeball. And they thought, if we could do this, Jesus could heal our friend.
Yep.
And you know what? They were right.
Yes.
One man believed that Christ could come and touch his daughter and that she would be healed in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. And you know what? He was right.
Amen.
One believed that you could just touch the clothes Jesus was wearing and be healed. And she was right. Two blind men believed if they yelled loud enough, long enough, Christ would heal them. And they were right. One man believed that Jesus could heal simply by speaking. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. A man comes to Jesus and says, listen, I'm a centurion. I understand how authority works. You don't need to come to my house. I just need you to speak the word.
Here we go.
And Jesus spoke the word and the man turned around and went home. See, he thought Jesus could just speak the word. And you know what? He was right. But I thought you had to get Jesus' full attention. Oh, if that's what you believe. But I thought you had to have him come touch your daughter. Oh, if that's what you believe.
Right.
But I thought you had to yell loud and long and get his attention. If that's what you believe.
Right.
I thought he just had to speak the word. That's true. If that's what you believe. Watch this. God's power appear.
Yes.
Wherever your faith is, God will adjust his work in your life to match your faith.
Wow.
So what does this mean? I need to believe God more. So what do? I believe God. We look in the mirror. I believe in God. He'll help me. No. The way you show God your faith is by acting on what you truly believe. See, I believe God's calling me into the ministry, one man said. And I believe God will use me, one man said. And he could have thought that the rest of his life. But he and his dear wife and their family get together and say, no. We believe it so much, we're going to go into the ministry.
Right, right.
And now God says, you're right.
Right. Hey.
People go to Montana, Rock Island, Rhode Island, everywhere in between. And if you believe God can build a church, you're right. God can use me with all my faults and failings. You're right. God can use an old coal miner. You're right.
Yeah.
The man that won me to the Lord was a machinist at Otis Elevator and a bus captain and a visiting and teaching a Sunday school. And at some point in his life, he just said, I believe that God could use an old machinist from Otis Elevator. And God said, Bo, you're right.
Amen.
That's
right.
Amen.
A man named Robert Ross pastoring a church that didn't want to see people saved. And there's all kinds of churches around. And he said, man, I think God wants us to start a church. And he got a group of people together and said, man, I think if we start a church, God could build a church. And you know what? They were right.
Yeah.
Well, let me warn you. God's not seeing people saved anymore. You're right. For you.
It's good.
Bus kids, they just tear up the church and they don't really add anything. Oh, you're right in your life. I wish the preacher would do thus and so. If he'd do thus and so, everything would just be better. And well, that became true for you. Did you ever notice how some people can be sitting in the middle of a miracle and sit soaking sour?
Yeah, that's right.
And then you've got other people that can be sitting in a dead mess and God gives them life.
Yeah.
According to your faith, be it unto you. Here's the truth. Just do. Show your faith by your actions. Because God hears what you say, but He's waiting for you to move. And whatever you do, God steps in. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I wonder what God's doing in your life tonight. Faith is the currency of God's kingdom. Faith is evidenced by obedience. Obedience is the key to everything God has. God will work in your life according to your faith. He will match His power to your belief as evidenced by your actions. And you can increase God's mighty working in your life simply by acting, moving on the belief that He will. Let's choose to trust God today. What's God doing in your life right now? Maybe you said, "Preacher, I just been kind of dead inside. I want God to move in my life." Well, dear friend, that process starts when you get out of a seat and the minute you come down to an altar and God say, "Oh, they believe me enough to move. Oh, they believe me enough to write the tithe check. Oh, they believe me enough to tell somebody about Jesus." Maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I want God to move so bad, but I'm just paralyzed. I'm not doing what I wish God would do." The challenge tonight is do it. Do it. Step out by faith. It's easier to steer a moving car than one that's stopped. God will not step into your life until you start taking steps of faith. According to your faith, believe, be it unto you. Let's all stand.